A new bill proposed by Republicans in Wisconsin would make it so that school district superintendents in the state would not need a license or any specific educational training. It's Thursday, September 28th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Danielle Kading will visit a celebration of the 40th anniversary of a federal court ruling which upheld the treaty rights of Ojibwe tribes to hunt, fish, and gather on off-reservation lands. And new COVID vaccines are available. Who should get them? When should you get them? And more. We'll have Dr. Ryan Westergaard of the State Department of Health Services swinging by to answer those questions. Stay with us.
What's going on in Wisconsin today? You find out on the Wisconsin Today podcast. This 10 minutes of regional news is supported by the people who listen. You. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A new bill proposed by Republicans in Wisconsin would make it so that school district superintendents would not need a license or any specific educational training. Corrine Hess reports the measure is an attempt to solve the superintendent turnover rate and also give local residents more control.
Current law requires superintendents to have teaching and principal licenses. They also need at least 6 semesters of teaching experience. Republican State Representative Robert Witke says letting school boards appoint a layperson would give districts more options.
This bill is about giving school districts another tool and not mandating anything into practice.
About 16% of Wisconsin school districts lose their superintendent each year. The State Department of Public Instruction warned not having a licensed individual managing a school district could open districts up to legal liabilities. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Former House Speaker Paul Ryan was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison this week. He said that he thinks President Joe Biden's going to win re-election in 2024 unless Republicans nominate someone other than Donald Trump. He said the best argument to defeat Trump within the Republican Party is the former president's losing record in recent elections. Ryan said college-educated voters in the suburbs are going to be picking the next president.
Do you think those suburban voters like Donald Trump more since January 6th? I mean, good grief. They didn't vote for him this last time. They're not going to vote for him again.
Ryan said the party needs a presidential candidate that's ethical and honest, and he said Trump is, quote, unfit for the job. The Janesville Republican resigned from Congress in 2019. Now he's a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, which is a libertarian think tank. Wisconsin tribal leaders gathered in Hayward yesterday to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Voight decision. As Danielle Kading reports, that federal court ruling upheld treaty rights of Ojibwe tribes to hunt, fish, and gather on off-reservation lands.
40 years ago, not everyone celebrated the ruling. In the 1980s, tribal members faced harassment at boat landings during the Walleye Wars. People hurled rocks and racist remarks as they spearfished. Bad River tribal member Joe Dan Rose says it was a scary, volatile time.
It's a miracle that nobody was ever seriously injured or killed, because all of the ingredients were there for something really bad to happen.
State anglers feared tribal spearfishing would harm the walleye population, but state regulators estimate sport fishers take roughly 5 times as many walleye as tribal anglers each year. While there's been progress, tribal officials say they'd like more trust and fairness from the state as they jointly manage resources. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison Audubon is now going by a new name. The birding club rebranded itself this week as Badgerland Bird Alliance. They're joining other local chapters of the national organization that have already changed their names over concerns about the Audubon namesake's history. John James Audubon was a celebrated wildlife artist, but he also enslaved black people and opposed emancipation. Jeff Galligan sat on the renaming committee of the Madison chapter. He's a member of the group's board and a co-founder of the BIPOC Birding Club of Wisconsin. He said people of color need to feel welcomed in the outdoors.
If you're not aware of the issues facing our environment, our land, our resources, and protecting and conserving them, you know, that's not good for anybody. And I think everybody needs to have a seat at that table.
The National Audubon Society said in a statement that it will continue to support any chapter that changes its name. Coming up, there are new COVID vaccines available. I know you got questions about them. So we've got Dr. Ryan Westergaard with the State Department of Health Services stopping by, and he'll answer some of those frequently asked questions. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Fall is upon us. The temperatures are getting colder, and eventually Wisconsinites will head indoors for the winter. But as they do so, COVID cases are on the rise, and the FDA has just approved new COVID boosters. Joining us to discuss how those boosters will be distributed, who should get them, and more is Dr. Ryan Westergaard with the Department of Health Services. Dr. Westergaard, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Alex.
Let's start right off the top. The FDA recently approved these new COVID boosters. What makes these boosters different from the last ones that were rolled out?
In the summer, the FDA approved updated formulations of the COVID-19 vaccines. The CDC made formal recommendations that these vaccines can be used this fall as a strategy to prevent the most severe complications of COVID-19. They're essentially the same vaccines that people are familiar with, but they've been modified slightly to be a better match for the specific variants of the virus that have been circulating this summer and fall.
So what are the guidelines for who should be getting these shots? Is it just people who are at risk? Is it just people who are immunocompromised or around those who are immunocompromised? Or is this something that everyone, even fully healthy people, should be looking at getting as we head into the wintertime?
The panel of scientists that advises CDC reviewed a large amount of data to answer this question. And they found that while older people and people with comorbidities have by far the highest risk of being hospitalized or dying from COVID-19, severe disease and even death can occur in people of all ages, including young children. After reviewing the evidence that these vaccines reduce this risk in all age groups with a low risk of harmful side effects, the committee voted to recommend everyone ages 6 months and older to get one of the shots.
Dr. Westergaard, if everyone is recommended to get one of these, what is the process for going about trying to get one?
Yeah, it's changed a bit. So the vaccines are starting to be available now already. The way that COVID vaccines are purchased and paid for has changed since the end of the public health emergency. In the past, the government purchased all the vaccines and made them available free of charge to everyone, which is why they were given at pop-up sites in places like gymnasiums. And I believe I got mine at the Alliant Energy Center here in Dane County. But now they're being purchased through commercial markets, similar to all other vaccines, which means there will be a cost for getting one. What has not changed, fortunately, is that everyone should still be able to get a COVID vaccine without any out-of-pocket costs. People with insurance can expect that the cost will be fully covered. And our state is participating in a new program called the Bridge Access Program to make vaccines available for free to people without insurance. And the best way to find a free COVID vaccine is for people to visit vaccines.gov and enter your zip code.
How important is it, Dr. Westergaard, to get vaccinated right now as opposed to maybe, say, waiting a little bit? If I'm someone who's fully healthy and I'm not around people who are immunocompromised, should I wait and let them get the shots first, or should everyone be going in? I guess I'm saying, how important is it to get it right away versus waiting?
Yeah. For most people, my advice is to not wait. COVID activity has been on the rise for the past month or so across the country and here in Wisconsin. And we've been seeing small increases in the number of people hospitalized with COVID in some areas of the state. The one exception to this is maybe if someone came down with COVID recently. And the reason for that is when you recover from a COVID infection, similar to vaccination, it'll give your immune system a boost, giving you protection against the virus in the future. And for this reason, the CDC recommends it's okay to wait about 3 months after recovering from COVID to get your next vaccine. But for most people and friends and family who have asked me this question, my advice is to not wait.
I just want to know the status of COVID in Wisconsin right now. Are cases on the rise? If so, how long has that been the trend? And should people be taking extra precautions right now?
Well, as I said, it's a small rise compared to what we've seen previously in the pandemic. we have a new system to track the level of virus in wastewater in municipal sewage system. And that's showing that the level of virus in the community is higher than it's been at any time in 2023. Unfortunately, our new normal coming out of the pandemic is that COVID is just one of several respiratory viruses that we can expect will be going around in the fall and winter each year. So as for other precautions, the influenza vaccine is also available right now and also recommended for everyone ages 6 months and older. And as always, in cold and flu season, we recommend washing hands, covering coughs and sneezes, and staying home when you're sick.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard with the Department of Health Services, thanks for joining us on Wisconsin Public Radio and helping us understand these boosters a little more. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me. Have a great day.
And that'll do it. A lot of good information from Dr. Ryan Westergaard today. So please feel free to share this podcast with anyone who you think should listen to that. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right here anytime you need us every single weekday morning right in that podcast feed. And again, feel free to share us around. Tell your friends about us. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.